Welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Normally the seeds of destiny is written ahead of time, and it is separate from the message schedule and message titling. The message of the month is prepared also at the beginning of the month. That is the message subjects for each of the services. And so I was very amazed to see that the seed of destiny of today is literally speaking the same thing as the message subject of today. That God has planned the top for his people. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. So it means that God is really, really speaking to us today on taking our place at the top. This evening, the subject very, very sharply is wisdom for the top. Wisdom for the top. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and in verse 1. The Bible said, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. Wisdom speaking said, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, even all the judges of the earth. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Tonight, our objective is to understand the wisdom keys that take people to the top. It is one thing to go to the top. It's another thing to remain at the top. But tonight, our focus is, what is it that will take somebody up first? Wisdom keys that take people to the top. We saw already in the seats of destiny, the Bible said, we are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So the top is where we belong. Not for show, not to make a name, but for the glory of God. According to verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are not going up to brag or go up to oppress people or go up to become proud and arrogant. But we are going up so that people know that the up belongs to God. He is the most high. And the most high places of the earth belong to his people. That's the aim. Like we have said all the time, it is more evangelistic. It is more evangelistically resultful to speak from the top than to speak from the bottom. The managing director of an organization, is easier for him to speak, to convince the workforce to follow his God, than for the messenger to convince the MD to follow his God. It's easier to impact from up than to impact from down. It's far more profitable in every way to be up than to be in the bottom. And so this moment, if you look at the lives of the people like Joseph, people like David, people like Daniel, these were people that impacted nations. These were people that changed territories. They didn't do it from down, they did it from up. Joseph influenced from up. Daniel influenced a nation from up. David influenced Israel from up. Now, what wisdom did they employ? What wisdom will you employ to go up? Number one, maintain the presence of God. Maintain the presence of God. Maintain the company of God. In Genesis 39 and in verse 2, the Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord with Joseph took Joseph up and kept Joseph up. Just remember this if you don't remember anything for this point. You cannot dwell with the Most High and not dwell in the high places of the earth. Again, you cannot dwell with the Most High and not dwell in the high places of the earth. The shadow of the Most High is not on the ground. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Whatever you do, keep the company of the Most High. Association is key to elevation. Associate with the Most High and you will be elevated to the most high places of the earth. Maintain the presence of the Most High. Number two, possess vision for the future. Possess vision. Rather, vision for the top. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 all the way to verse 9, we saw the life of Joseph. If you start from verse 5, and he dreamt dreams, and he told it to his brethren. Read all the way to verse 9. You will see about the dreams of Joseph. And all the dreams pointed to him being at the top. In Genesis chapter 13, and in verse 14 to verse 15, God speaking to Abraham, and the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forevermore. Please take note of the following two or three things. One, vision is key to elevation. It's key to elevation. Second, where you find yourself today, where you see yourself today, determines where you will find yourself tomorrow. Where do you see yourself? You see yourself on the floor today. You will find yourself on the floor tomorrow. If you see yourself on the top today, even if you are not on the top yet, but you see yourself on the top today, you will find yourself on the top tomorrow. Don't let your situation limit your vision. Let your vision rearrange your situation. Don't let your situation limit your vision. Let your vision rearrange your situation. That is, no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself today, decide where you want to find yourself and see yourself there. Joseph had it. David had it. And they all found themselves there. Maintain the presence of God. Possess vision for the top. Number three, be different in every way. Be different in every way. You want to find yourself on the top, and there are a majority of people you know on the floor. Be different from them in every way. Be different in your mindset, how you think. Be different in your lifestyle, how you behave. Genesis 39 and in verse 2, it showed us how different Joseph was from his brethren. 37 verse 2 rather. He brought evil report of his brethren, which means he was different from them. Be different in every way. Two things you must understand. You don't make make a difference until you are different. Among your family members, among your classmates, you don't make a difference until you are different. Secondly, your influence is a product of your difference. Your influence in your generation, whether you are going to influence from the top, is a product of your difference. When people begin to say, why are you so different? Why do you just behave differently? Why don't you just want to act like everybody? Why do you want to behave as if you are superior? When they begin to think, talk like that, know that you are on the way going somewhere. Am I communicating? In my life, I've come across mediocre people. People who think very low and very base, very on the ground. And I looked at myself and I said, I'm so different. The thought is different. The content of the talk is different. Behavior is different. Mindset is different. I'm not talking of unbelievers. I'm talking of some so-called people in ministry. And at the end of the day, everything grew differently. And the difference is so clear. Don't ever struggle to belong if you are different. If you begin to feel different and think different and behave different, and never struggle to belong. Otherwise, your attempt to belong will limit your destiny. Be different. Number four. So the first thing is, maintain the company of the Most High. Possess vision for the top. Be different in every way. Number four, be the best in what you do. Are you planning to go to the top? Be the best in what you do. Work on yourself until you are the best in what you do. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17. They were looking for somebody to go to the palace. And Saul said, provide me a man that can play well and bring him to me. And in verse 18, they found David, that he was the best in whatever he did. He was the very, very best in playing the instrument. Please listen to this. If being the best is your passion, being at the top is your portion. Say that again. If being the best is your passion, then being at the top is your portion. Show me a man or a woman who has a passion for being the best, behaving the best, acting the best. Then being at the top is your portion. And don't forget this. Second, that the best of life answers to the best from man. If you are going to get the best of life, life must get the best from you. Because life is a fertile ground. If you are going to get the best out of life, life must get the best out of you. The best of life answers to the best of man. We are talking about wisdom to the top. Christians think that we have to pray about everything. God, yes, we have to pray about everything. But there are things that prayer will not do, where being the best will do. Excellence took David to the palace before the anointing took him there. When he went there at first, it was not that he was anointed that got him there. It was that he was the best instrumentalist. Be the best at what you do, so you can represent God from the top in your field. The best in your medical practice. The best in your legal practice. The best in your engineering. The best in your production. Being the best. Be the best at what you do. Number four. Deploy your potentials. Consistently deploy your potentials. That is, what you know how to do, don't hold back. Do not hoard or hide your potentials. Proverbs 18:16, he said, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him to greatness. It takes him to the top. A man's gift. It maketh room for him takes him to the top. Listen to this. You don't hoard potentials and access possibility. You don't hoard potentials and access possibility. Your potentials are the key to your possibility. Secondly, your potential is your vehicle to your placement in life. Your potentials is your vehicle to your placement in life. Whatever God has put in you, push them out. A time was when I was very, very conscious of how people will feel when they look at you as if you are over-gifted, over-talented. You play the instrument, you sing the song, you write the song, you dance the dance, you preach the preach, you organize a crusade, you teach the teach, you prophesy the prophesy, and all of that. So I was trying to hold back so that nobody feels intimidated. I remember one time I went somewhere and I was playing the instrument, and it looked like that. Well, one or two people just felt, why will you do everything? And I was trying to hold back until God warned me that everything he gave to me, I will give account of it. So it's not about what a person feels or does not feel. And for as long as I am not planning to create an impression, it is all right to give expression. Did you hear what I just said? If your plan is to create an impression, your motive is wrong. You are not going to go far. You want to impress people with what you can do and intimidate people. You are not going to go far. But if it is a matter of giving expression, you are not holding back, but giving expression to the glory of your maker, then you will locate your passion. Deploy potentials. Number six, place people's satisfaction above financial consideration. Place people's satisfaction. I'm giving you the keys to go to the top. Place people's satisfaction ahead of financial consideration. Simple. Put people above money. Don't put money above people. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 5 to verse 8, when Joseph came into the prison and he saw the depressed butler and baker, and he knew that he could interpret their dreams, he didn't ask them, how much will you pay? This is your bill. This is the invoice for being able to interpret your dream. What was more important to him? He had the skill. He had the expertise. He had the ability. But what was more important to him was not what he can get out of solving their problem. It was the fact that their problem must be solved. Their problem must be solved first. And when that problem was solved, you know yourself that even though it was a few years later, the solving of that problem was the door to the palace. Am I communicating? Maybe Joseph could have charged them $5 each. $5, $10. And they looked for money and paid. And after that, they would have forgotten him forever. Even if Pharaoh said that I have a dream, I have no interpretation, they wouldn't remember Joseph. Because that was the man who charged them money in their distress. There are people who use people's problems as advantages to make money. People's challenge, people's pain. Pain. Woman delivered a child premature. I was in a particular hospital. I'm a medical doctor, and I'm sorry to say this, but this child needed an incubator. And this child needed to be in the hospital for maybe two or more months, and you have to drop 3.5 million before any treatment could commence on the child. And I said to myself, if the 3.5 million is not available, what happens? The child dies, right? The woman ran helter-skelter. In my mind, I said, what if the child is treated until the child is okay after that 2 months and you haven't paid the money? You can't be discharged. That's a possibility. So look for money before the discharge. Is that not a superior wisdom than if the child dies now because you cannot pay, let the child die? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm using an extreme case now. But Joseph interpreted their dream without asking for a dime. But the time came when what Joseph got as a result of doing that vision, that interpretation free of charge, no amount of money could have bought it. Listen to two things. A heart for people will give you your place among people. When you have a heart for people, you will find your place among men. That heart that Nehemiah had, that made him to weep over the walls, the broken down walls of Jerusalem. That heart that David had, that made him to risk his life, saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? A heart for people will give you your place among people. And secondly, impact on people. Impact is directly proportional to income. To the extent you make impact, to that extent, you command income. I have never charged anybody worldwide for a preaching engagement from the day we started church till the day Jesus come. I have never given anybody a condition. This is the kind of hotel you must book. And this is the kind of food we must eat. Somebody told me, we're going for a crusade in an African country. He said, so what kind of car will you drive? We're trying to get the cars ready. Would it be a Range Rover? Or will it be this and that? I said, car? That is the least. It's not on the table. For discussion, it is not on the table. You know what I want? Gather the people. Let them be saved. Let them be healed and delivered. If I climb motorcycle back, I don't mind. Somebody said they wanted to invite us. They said, I hear that people come private. So how much should I pay for jet fuel or anything like that? I said, it is not on the table. Go to sleep. If the schedule permits, we will come and go free of charge. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many places will you be able to go if you charge people what it takes you to go there? Only God can pay the bill, and he pays it. But I can assure you that operating like that and moving like that, we have never been stranded. We have not regretted once. We have not been in the negative or the red once. Somebody say amen. We have flown all the way, 6 hours flight, 7 hours flight. And you have come at this one, not our own crusader, you were invited. Years ago. And after you have finished preaching, they say, the Lord bless you, sir. We'll see you another time. There are some, you even gave them money before you leave. Somebody say amen. So let these things not be your consideration. Somebody's is looking for a mechanic that can repair a particular kind of car problem. You are the only one who could repair it. Don't take it as an opportunity to extort them. Repair the first one free of charge and tell them, go and test the car. If it is okay, you let me know. And if you come back and you say it was very okay, I don't know how you did it. So how much is the bill? You say, oh no, this one is for free. Wow. For free? Are there such people? You know what he's going to do? He's going to get your, he's going to take you as his, he's going to get a retainership, you are going to get a retainership with him. He's going to link you with any other person. Any other person. He's going to link you with any other person. If he wasn't an embassy, his embassy, other embassies. One young man, take your seat. One young man in our church said, somebody gave him 500 million naira. After he transacted with the money, he just did the man such goodness that the man said, the balance of 500,000 million, just hold it for me. So he told me, I said, let one CC not miss from that 500 million. One CC. The man returned back to him after about 3 months. And he said, I need that money now. You know, some people will say, let me do some quick forex trade. Let me do some quick investment. Let me just quickly put it somewhere. And the fast deal with them very fast. All right? Before you know it, he's in a mess. The man is asking for his money. He can't get the money back. Start sweating on the nose. You know, sweat anywhere is okay, but on the nose. That is the matter has crossroad. Sweat on the nose. When surgeons start sweating on the nose in the theater, it means he has tampered with something. He has gone where he wasn't meant to go. Hallelujah. The man, after 3 months, asked for his money. In a few seconds, it was wired on the spot. Man said, what? Is this a possibility? That was how he carried him to his another millionaire friend. Deal with this young man. You deal with him. Deal with him. You want anybody to deal with in business, in properties in Nigeria? See him. Don't put money first. Satisfy people first. Put people first. Let people be happy with you first. The rest will follow. That is why so many people are on the floor. The number of people they dealt with, they can't count. This guy said, can we do this? He dealt with him. And that person came in. And then the news begins to go around. That man is a thief. I have seen some people before, and I've seen some people around. I called somebody and said, what are you doing around that person? So don't deal. Zero deal. Someone I knew. If he says good morning, check your watch. It could be afternoon. Check your watch. That is not morning. Somebody say aloud amen. Please, this point is very, very important. I thought I'm going to be faster than this, but place people's satisfaction ahead of financial consideration. Put people above money. It will take you up. Number 7, accept responsibility. Accept responsibility. What is the meaning of this? Do what others avoid. Go where others won't go. Accept responsibility. Do what others avoid. Go where others won't go. Be proactive. Don't give excuses. Don't look for whom to blame. Accept responsibility. See yourself as a person who must do what must be done. Don't try to look for who should do it. See yourself as the person who must do what must be done where you are. Don't look for who will do it. That was how David saw himself. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, he saw himself responsible.
While his other brothers were at home, he was with in the bush, taking care of his father's flock. That was how Joseph saw himself. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 to 8, while everybody was seeing the prisoners sad, he held himself responsible to make them happy.
Accept responsibility. Just hold yourself responsible.
Respond appropriately. Make yourself, consider yourself the person that must do what must be done.
Two things I will say. Number one, the acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of authority.
Joseph has accepted responsibility. He was establishing authority.
The acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of authority. And Winston Churchill said, responsibility is the price of greatness.
You want to arrive
in the realm of greatness, accept responsibility. Just be the one.
I don't have the time tonight to tell you several things I can tell you about.
Don't wait for who would do the road to where you live. If you have the money, do it. It will answer for you later.
Don't wait for who will call the electricity people to come and fix the light. If you have the ability, invite them to do it. Even if there are neighbors there, just go ahead and do it. It places you on top. It's a seed sown. You are telling the world and telling God and telling the earth that you are the one who is the leader. It naturally pushes you up.
Accept responsibility. Number eight, package yourself for excellence. Package yourself or package your life for excellence. Your life. When I said package yourself or package your life, I mean both yourself, your products or services. Let them be packaged with excellence.
One of the greatest challenges of most children of God is mediocrity.
Package yourself.
Don't ever forget, if you must excel in life, the quality of the content must be equivalent to the quality of the container. Some people have content, but they lack container. Content is good, container is poor.
Am I communicating? How many examples can I give you? Genesis chapter 41, verse 14.
Genesis 41, verse 14. When Pharaoh sent for Joseph, Joseph had to change his garment. He had to dress for the palace. You cannot carry prison dress and function in the palace.
He had to dress for the palace. And when he arrived palatially, he couldn't return from that palace back to the prison. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are people who are dressing prison dresses, and they are going to the palace. Arrive at the interview chewing gum and just disheveled, dressed like it's a riot of colors. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
People don't think. See, the way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. The way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. Write it down. First thing, I heard that from Archbishop Benson in the House of Blessed Memory for the first time, that the way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. Also, note that the way you are perceived is the way you will be received. I perceive that this man is a holy man of God that passeth by us continually. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. I perceive that this man that is passing by us is a holy man of God. And because he perceived so, they received him so. The way you are perceived is the way you will be received.
The first time I went to preach in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A man there, a billionaire man, who I heard doesn't normally really go to church or as such, he told somebody, he said, "I like that man with that tweed suit." I was preaching. So I like him and I like his preaching. Tweed. It's tweed also. I like this kind. I was wearing the red version of it. Say, so he like, said, so then I said, "Where is the man with that tweed cloth?" He's looking forward to being there at his preaching. Before people have the time to hear what you will say, they see you first. Before you give expression, they may form an impression that may be, okay, I'll show you that red thing I was wearing there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They may have formed an impression. There is a way people like you before you answer an interview question. And that likeness of you may be the end of the question. "How are you? I like the way you look. Wow, is this how you dress all the time? Really? Or is it because it's an interview? So what do you do? Really? When did you finish school? Wow. You live in this town? Well, I really, really like how smart you are. Well, congratulations. You have the job. See you tomorrow." Do you understand what I'm saying? Both yourself and whatever you want to present, the medicine is good, but the capsule is bad. What is carrying it is bad. The proposal is excellent, but the presentation of it is disaster. There is a way you can present something and it is readable. There is a readability. I've seen people give me books and I can't read it. Not because of eye problem, but because of bankruptcy of readability. Why? The layout, the print font size. Be generous with font. Be generous a bit. A little bit generous. Because there are categories of people that will read what you have, that have different eye situations. Beyond that, when the font is generous, readability is easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good, nice material. Written like Chinese or Japanese. Japanese people are able to read their own and Chinese, but I'm not Chinese, I'm not Japanese, so write it in English so we can read it. Am I communicating at all? Package. Now, look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17. 1 Samuel 16, 17. I want you to see, and look at verse 18. See how they describe David. "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing.'" That is instrument. "Mighty, valiant man. He's a man of body works. A man of war. Talented on the instrument. And prudent in matters." He has wisdom. "A comely person." That is what I want you to see in another translation. "A comely person. Is lovable, admirable, look good." Can you give me other translations of this? "Look. He is also courageous, of age, well-spoken, and good-looking." They had to add that as a qualification for standing in the palace. And God is with him. Let me see another translation. The New Living Translation. "Talented harp player, but was handsome, brave, and strong. And had good, solid judgment." How many of you know that packaging can enhance handsomeness or beautifulness, as the case may be? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's take a look at a final translation and look at that. "Also a fine-looking young man.
He is also a fine-looking young man. These things are very, very important. If you are going to... Joseph was like that. There was a description of Joseph like that. Joseph was like that. If you look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 5 and 6. And Joseph was brought down. Look at verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, except the bread which he had. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now show us the meaning of that goodly person. Message Bible Living Translation. Goodly person. Good looking person. Goodly person. 6. Goodly person. Joseph was very handsome and well built young man. Message. Goodly person. Goodly person. Strikingly handsome man, the message said. Goodly person. Goodly person. Now, good looking. Now look at the qualification for the kind of people that stood in the palace for Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Daniel. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Keep going. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom. That well favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, all that is there. Now let's look at the other translation of verse 4. This was the category of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Select only strong, healthy, and good looking young men. These are people that are meant for the palace. For the palace. If it is the motor park, you can select anybody. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Or if it is for the village square, you can select anybody. But if it is for the palace, good looking. Okay, look at select only strong, healthy, and good looking young men. Now, the good news translation said they had to be handsome, intelligent, well trained, quick to learn, and free from physical defects. That is, those ones are not even to have crooked nose or crooked anything. The king thought, say, then must they handsome. Sabi book, get sense. And must they fit to serve for royal palace? Make them come teach them to sabi talk and write Babylonian language. Hallelujah! Look at your neighbor, say, looking good is good business. So try and look good all the time. And everything you do must look good. When we arrived town newly, you can imagine how old our church was then. But every time I was decently suited, tie, shoe, and all of that. One bishop then, do you remember Dr. Mesonenche? He said, Dr. Paul, it's as if one of your assignments is to come teach us how to wear suit. He has been in town for a while. He said, Dr. Paul, it looks like one of your assignments is to come teach us how to wear suit. I don't know what he meant by that, but I couldn't do it otherwise. From then till now till tomorrow. Even at home, there are things I can't wear. And there are things the people around me cannot wear. Please, if I catch you wearing this cloth, so what should I do? Burn it or bury it or anything. Don't give it to anybody. I've given her such a warning. I've given several of them. Because there are just think I'm at home. Who told you at home? Even at home, there are things. How many men here have some clothes you would like to destroy from your wife's hand? Most women have some cloth. The cloth, the name of the cloth is hanger. Hanging like hanger.
They will never leave it. One man is telling me, they will never leave it, especially if they knock it with shower cap.
This is an ancient picture of 20-something years ago. You can see the coat.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Is God speaking to somebody at all? That's, see more of the coat. Under a roofed, rugged building. Plenty of them. Hallelujah. So please ensure, package yourself. Package your life. Everything you do, don't forget this message and package it well. Number 9, be a solution provider.
I said earlier on that your container is as important as your content. Number 9, be a solution provider. That is, let your life be the solution to a problem. Let your life be the answer to a question in your generation. Be the solution to a problem. Be the answer to a question in your generation. And you can never be on the floor. If you doubt me, ask Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 in verse 46 to 48. After Daniel answered the question of King Nebuchadnezzar, it was a puzzle, a national puzzle. Then the King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou could reveal this secret, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. By answering the question, Daniel found his place on the top. What of David, who handled Goliath? We cannot go into all of that now in Genesis, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 45 all the way to verse 50. That took him to the top. And we talked about Joseph's interpretation of dreams just now. Be a solution. Just be on the lookout and answer questions and bring solutions. Now, take note of this. First, that existence as a solution provider is existence in leadership position. Existence as a solution provider is existence in leadership position. Whatever makes you to provide solutions puts you in leadership. It's existence in leadership position. Existence as a solution provider is existence in leadership position. Secondly, when you live in the realm of answers, you escape the arena of questions. Live in the realm of answers, you will escape the arena of questions. Live in the realm of answers. You cannot be in the river and in the desert at the same time. Live in the realm of answers. You escape the arena of questions. Be a solution provider. Let God help you. And you put this together with the other point we made, that you should put people first, not money. So while you are providing this solution, let how much will I make out of this not be on top of your mind yet, but how to help a generation, and it will flow naturally. Number 10, be a solution provider. Number 10, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Always go the extra mile. David went the extra mile. That is, in all the things we are talking about, go the extra mile. David went the extra mile. When his father sent him to give food to his brethren, he found Goliath and he brought him down. He didn't go to the battlefield because of Goliath. He went because of taking food to his brothers. But as he went there, he found the problem and he went the extra mile and he brought down the problem. Joseph went the extra mile. Genesis 41 verse 33. When, after he interpreted the
the dream of Pharaoh.
He now gave Pharaoh the solution. Verse 33 is the extra mile. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man. Pharaoh did not. Pharaoh only said, give me interpretation. And after he gave Pharaoh the interpretation, he went forward with the solution. And then Pharaoh said, you are giving me the solution. You are giving me the solution. Then
you go and implement that solution. Go the extra mile. Look at two things. Number one, when you do ordinary things, you get ordinary results. But when you do extra things, you get extraordinary results. Say that again. When you do ordinary things, you get ordinary results. But when you do extraordinary things, you get extraordinary results. Okay. When you do ordinary things, you get ordinary results. When you do extra things, you get extraordinary results. Secondly, don't forget this. Extra acts, A-C-T-S, extra acts will generate extra height. Show me a man given to extra acts. You will see a man who will attain extra heights. Ordinary people will remain with ordinary height. But when there is an extra act, it will beget extra height. Do extra things. Go the extra mile. I have two more because we have 12 points. Number 11, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Daniel was faithful. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 to 11. Sorry, verse 3 to 4. The king preferred Daniel above the presidents, and he wants to set him over the whole realm. Why? They sought occasion, verse 4, but they could not find occasion because he was faithful. Daniel was preferred above every other person because he was faithful. Be faithful. Faithfulness will bring you minimum of two things. Number one, faithfulness will bring the blessing. Number two, faithfulness will bring promotion. It will bring favor. Daniel was preferred. Faithfulness, number one, will bring the blessing. Number two, faithfulness will bring promotion and favor. Proverbs 28 and in verse 20. A faithful man will abound with a blessing. It will bring the blessing. And faithfulness will bring favor. Who will not like a faithful employee above an unfaithful one? Favor is natural. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You come to the office, you ask if this person is not around. You ask if this person is, he came before everybody. You ask if the other person is not around. You ask if this person came before everybody. When it is time to send somebody abroad, that will attract him extra money, an extra code and all of that, who will you send? The faithfulness. You heard the story of the man who was a messenger in an office. He will come before everybody and clean the office and leave after everybody had left and still tidy up things in the office. And he did that as a messenger. One day the MD, I heard this story from God's servant, Papa Yedepo. I think it was in one of his books. The MD came and ask him, the regular messenger cleaner, to go and tidy up a particular office. After he finished tidying it up, he said, the office is for our new GM. And you are the new GM. From being a messenger to manager at the frequency of faithfulness. Faithfulness means being reliable. You are dependable. The heart of your boss can rest. People deal with you and they can go to rest. You are faithful. You are reliable. You are dependable. Your yes is yes. Your no is no. If you say you are coming, you are coming. If you say you are not coming, you are not coming. That's faithfulness. Be faithful. Finally, number 12. Be upright. Be upright. Somebody will be asking, what is the difference? Be upright. Daniel chapter 5, sorry.
Genesis chapter 39, verse 5 to verse 6. Genesis 39, 5 to 6. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. Nothing missed, nothing got lost under Joseph's care. That is uprightness. Do you understand now? In faithfulness, you are reliable. In uprightness, you are not crooked. Faithfulness is integrity of words. Uprightness is integrity involving resources, money, things. The faithful man will also eventually be upright. Eventually. But when the man is faithful, if it is nine, if the office opens by 8 and you came by 8, you saw him, he will not arrive by 9 and write 8 on the logbook. Do you understand what I'm saying now? If the man is upright and you gave him 100 million to buy you a house, and he told you the house was 100 million, and then he went to the market and found that the house was 80 million. He bought the house for 80 million and he returned back 20 million. And he said, even though we agreed that it was 100 million and that was the price I saw, but when I got to the market, I saw one for 80 million. I'm telling you a real life story of what happened. And he said, see the balance of the 20 million. And the man said, oh, are there still people like that? All right, keep the 20 million. But then I want to deal more with you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? The kind of people that are like that are not plenty anymore. We live in a world where people can kill their mother for money. Is that right? Where they are doing money rituals in all form, what they call Yahoo Plus, where they are sacrificing, deceiving people, killing, and money becomes a god over everything. How will you have? Why is that? Why there are not many people at the top? Say, go and buy a speaker for us, even if it was church speaker. And the person selling the speaker say, how much should I write on the receipt? Huh? How much should I write for you? And you say, what would you write other than the price of it? Say, oh no, you are going to write what is the price. Because what is done is the speaker is 90,000. So you write 150,000. And then he went to the church and they gave him 150,000. Then he paid the man 90,000. So there is a 60,000 on top. And then him and the man splits it. You take 20, I take 40. For giving me a fake receipt. It's known between the two of you, but it's also known with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Upright. These 12 things. Now let me tell you two things about uprightness. Number one, the way of uprightness is the way of blessedness. In Job chapter 1 verse 1 and in verse 3, when the Bible spoke about a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, perfect and upright, feared God, eschewed evil, that man was the greatest of the men of the east. Upright is the way of blessedness. The way of crookedness is the way of cursefulness. You cannot be crooked and be curse-free. Every crooked man attracts curses naturally. You can't be crooked and be curse-free. No. You can't be crooked and be free of curses. You can't. The way of blessedness, of crookedness, is a way of cursefulness. Final thing to say is to be upright, is to be right up. If you are upright, you end right up. Joseph bound grass. Genesis chapter 37, verse 7. He said, and my sheaf stood upright, and you bowed. The one that was upright, others bowed for it. My sheaf stood upright, and your own bowed for my own. Provided yours wasn't upright, it must bow for mine. Upright. To be upright is to be right up. Beloved, if I'm to conclude tonight, to be wise is to rise. If you want to rise, be wise. And to be a fool is to fail. What are the wisdom keys and channels we have seen tonight? I want the media to place it on the screen, and I want you to read it along with me. Number one, everybody, all I need is your voice. One, presence of God. Number two, possess vision for the top. Number three, be different in every way. Number four, be the best in what you do. Number five, consistently deploy your potentials. Number six, place people's satisfaction ahead of financial consideration. Put people above money. Don't put money above people. Number seven, accept responsibility. Number eight, package yourself and your life for excellence. Number nine, be a solution provider. Number 10, go the extra mile. Number 11, be faithful. And number 12, stand upright. Go on ahead and stand upright. Stand upright, stand upright, stand upright. Anybody blessed apart from myself? Anybody blessed apart from myself? If you are blessed like myself, you say amen. Amen. The test of good food is that the cook likes the food. Hallelujah. Tonight is a new day. Lift up your hands, and we're going to pray two prayers. Father, thank you for your word to me tonight. I am grateful for the gift of your word. First prayer. Lift your voice and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me tonight.
To me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the gift.
For the gift.
Of your word.
Of your word.
The flow.
Of your word.
Of your word. To my life.
To my life.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Be glorified, Lord.
Be glorified,
in the name of Jesus.
Name of
go
Jesus.
On ahead and pray.
Ya ka la ka ba 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 ba